The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Thursday night following a Flames 3-0 loss on the road in Tampa Bay. Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Pat Steinberg along with you with the phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Call now if you want to chat on this Thursday night, or text now at 960-960. Your phone calls and texts coming up. Lots of looks inside the Flames locker room and a whole lot more, but right now we also bring in color voice of the Flames, Megan Mickelson, to join us following a tough one, a 3-0 setback. Tough to generate a ton of offense. And it's funny, Mick, the Flames were opportunistic when they needed to be on Tuesday. And tonight it was Tampa who was pretty opportunistic on their quality opportunities. And the Flames had trouble generating on their own, could not beat Vasilevsky. And I don't know if they made a couple of big stops tonight, but they probably would like a little bit more of a more difficult night for Vasilevsky. What's your takeaway and your final thoughts on this game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the first goal that Tampa scored, and I mean, that's just a really lucky bounce. Yeah, and so that's a tough way to start a road game, especially when you're playing really well. Mm-hmm. It just kind of takes the wind out of your sails a little bit. But, I mean, I thought the Flames played really well. They only gave up 6 high-danger chances in all situations. And, I mean, you're playing against the, you know, second most potent offensive team in the NHL, if you're looking at goals for per game. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at that stat alone, like, that's really good. So from a defensive standpoint, I mean, they played really well, but Tampa found ways to score, were very opportunistic. And I mean, for the Flames, you know, yeah, maybe they didn't make things as hard as they could on Vasilevsky, but I also think that their power play was something that needed to come through for them in this game. You look at the power play at the end of the second period, the one later on in the third as well. And I mean, if they can find one and capitalize on either one of those, then I mean, the game looks much differently, obviously. But I also thought, I mean, Vasilevsky, there was traffic in front of him. He just did a really good job of seeing around bodies and finding pucks as well. So, I mean, you can't underscore that and just how talented and skilled he is in doing that. I mean, he's a big guy, so he's able to see up over and above players oftentimes, but also just seeing around screens and traffic. And if there was tips and deflections, he was still able to find pucks. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just the fact that the Flames couldn't solve Vasilevsky, and Tampa found ways to capitalize at the other end of the ice.
And now Flames 2 down, 4 to go on this 6-game road trip. Let's select a hardest working Flame after this game tonight. Mick, which way leaning for a hardest worker tonight?
Well, I thought Dustin Wolf had a really strong game, and he was the third star in this one, and so can't go by him without giving him an honorable mention. But one guy who I just really loved his game was Joel Hanley. And I mean, I continue to be a big fan of his, but I mean, I thought that he was really physical, especially early on. And you think about the penalty that Kevin Ball took, and Joel Hanley gets the call to go out there on the penalty kill instead. And I mean, I thought that he was excellent and crucial in killing off that one especially. So I'm going to give it to Joel Hanley.
Joel Hanley, your hardest working Flame in this one tonight. And last thought for you, Mick, and you know, it's funny, you talk about the power play. I wrote that down for the second intermission when breaking it down through 40, because I really liked Calgary's second period. I thought, the first period against Washington, they were the dominant team and scored twice. I thought they were pretty dominant in the second period tonight, couldn't score at 5-on-5. And then the two power plays they had, one of them got cut short, and they had the great opportunity early on it with Huberdeau. But that second one, as you mentioned, late, that took a lot of wind out of the sails for them. For me, and it felt like, you know, the Lightning were able to dial things back in and really got their defensive game where it needed to be in the third. It felt like those two second period power plays, kind of a missed opportunity for the Flames tonight.
Yeah, they just looked, you know, a little bit disconnected, and, you know, it's hard to say why that may be. I think that they've really struggled on their entries. They've gotten over the blue line often, but then it's sort of that next play when you're really under pressure. And, I mean, you give Tampa a lot of credit. They pressure really hard all over the ice on the penalty kill, so there's not much time and space or room to do anything. But I thought that there was a lot of missed passes and missed execution. And, I mean, now you look at their power play on this road trip, they're now over for five. So when you're having a hard time scoring five on five, that's really when you need your power play to come through. But, you know, I thought the power play yesterday, you know, at least the one that they had in the third period, two days ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know what day it is. We're only two games into the road trip.
Well, welcome but, to my world for 8 months a year.
Right. So that power play, though, at the end of the game against the Capitals, I mean, it gave them momentum. And that's what you need. If you don't score on the power play, you at least need it to give you some momentum. And I thought that it did the opposite for the Flames in that it took the momentum away from them.
Yeah. Okay, Mick, we'll talk to you on Saturday. Be well. Hey.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, color voice of the Flames, with us here on our Flames Talk post-game show with the phone lines open at 403-240-4444 and the text line open at 960-960. Pat Steinberg along with you. We'll get to your phone calls and texts coming up. Now the marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, and marquee matchup on our pregame show tonight. We talked about the last time the Flames and Lightning played and how much of a disaster that was, and it really was. That was a brutal night for the Flames. They lost 8-3, and they were just really loose, really sloppy, so on and so forth. So back on December 12th, when the Flames got hammered 8-3 by Tampa Bay, high-danger scoring chances were 15-7 in all situations for the Lightning, 11-7 at 5-on-5. Scoring chances were 34-17 in favor of the Lightning. So regular scoring chances, 34-17 at 5-on-5. High dangers, 11-7. At all strength, it was 40-17, 15-7 in favor of Tampa. Tonight, give the Flames a ton of credit as they had a 9-6 edge at 5-on-5 and a 10-7 edge overall. So from allowing 15 high dangers and 40 regular scoring chances in the game on December 12th, just 7 high dangers tonight and 20 scoring chances when you count in the medium dangers as well. So 20 scoring chances, 7 at high danger tonight, a massive reduction from December 12th, 2.5 months ago. So that's a positive, but the Flames couldn't score tonight, couldn't beat Vasilevsky. And on top of that, it's a good Lightning team. And when they have opportunities and when their good players get sprung, and I think the most telling of that tonight was Chernak's goal. It's a good team over there. They know how to win. And the other thing that the Lightning did very well in this game was locking it down in the third period. The Flames, you know, they generated in the third period, but they actually, that was the one period in tonight's game where they were outdone when it comes to high dangers. Flames got 23-13 in terms of 5-on-5 shot attempts in the third, but high dangers were 3-2 Tampa Bay. The Lightning did a spectacular job of keeping the entire game to the outside in the final 20, up by 1 and then up by 2 early on. But that Chernak goal was a really good example of the Lightning getting an opportunity. It was not even like, I didn't even think it was all that bad of a play. It was from the Flames side of things. I mean, yes, Coronado got stripped, but that's one of the best two-way players in the NHL, and Anthony Cirelli, who's doing it. Like Cirelli, Stone, counting two or three others in terms of their two-way ability, and Cirelli, a great strip, and that leads to the Chernak opportunity, and he fires it into the corner past Dustin Wolf. But that's an opportunity. When the Lightning weren't generating a ton of opportunities, then they get one, they make good on it, give themselves a little bit of breathing room, and come away with the 2-0 victory. The marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. Okay, it's Pat Steinberg along with you. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. for. Got a few lines open right now if you want to jump in and chat. And the text line is open at 960-960 as well. Lots of text coming in, but only a couple on the phone line. So if you want to jump in on the phone lines, do so now at 403-240-4444. Would love to hear from you on this Thursday night. Next up for the Flames, noon game in Florida on Saturday, 3 p.m. Sunday in North Carolina against the Carolina Hurricanes. That is what's coming up here in the next couple of days. That'll be game 3 and 4 of this six-game road trip. Let's go to the Flames dressing room now, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. So the Flames lose this game 3-0 on the road in Tampa Bay, and a really good game from the Flames in a lot of ways, though, when it comes to their 5-on-5 play. And I would imagine head coach Ryan Huska going to be pretty happy about what he saw in this one tonight. Let's hear from the head coach Ryan Huska at Amalie Arena post-game tonight in Tampa Bay.
I thought we did a lot of good things tonight. It was a pretty good road game where we there was a tough break on the penalty kill goal off of skating in, and then we overskated a puck on their second goal, and they capitalized on those opportunities. We weren't able to find a way to get one past their goalie tonight, but I thought they did a lot of good things tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the tough break on the first goal. You know, just the response, though, too, it seemed like, you know, it didn't really take too much momentum away from it.
No, I liked our second period. I thought we had more zone time in the second period than the other ones during this game. Whether it was more traffic or their goaltender was kind of in the zone, he looked that way tonight to me, like everything looked easy for him. So we had to find a way to get a little bit more in front of him and make his life a little bit more difficult. But it wasn't for a lack of effort tonight, for sure.
That fourth line's still kind of leading the charge in terms of energy and
oh, yeah. Capacity. Yeah, same thing. Like, they've given us 3 good games in a row now. So that's important for our team because people build or feed off their life they bring.
Is there a sense you need more from
Well, sure, when you don't score goals, someone's got to step up and generate. I thought, you know, I think Naz, if I'm not mistaken, Huey might have had 5 shots on goal. I think Naz had 4. And when you look at, I think we finished with 27. Other guys got to get themselves involved offensively because you can't ask them to do it every night. So we need to find a way to get some other guys with a little bit more jump right now that way.
I know you mentioned maybe a little product of the goalie being locked in on the other side too, but, you know, are you maybe searching for ways to be a little more creative, or is it sometimes just one of those breaks when you have the body in the right place?
Hey, listen, sometimes if you're you know, cheating for offense or trying to be too creative, you open yourself up to odd man rushes and stuff the other way. In the first period, we gave up a few of those. Tampa's a little different team than most. You see their back end's really big, so they make it hard on you to get inside, and it's just a matter of finding a little bit extra to get yourself there and make life a little bit more difficult on them.
Still plenty to build on, obviously, from Washington to tonight and
sure.
Moving forward.
I think we've played 2 good road games so far in this trip, and we have to find a way to get right back at it in Florida and make sure we're a little bit, as I mentioned, a little bit more competitive to score. Thank you, guys.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game following this 3-0 loss on the road in Tampa Bay. Too bad for Blake Coleman. Tonight was his 600th career NHL game, his 299th as a member of the Flames. Pretty cool that 299 of the 600 spent here with the Flames, almost half of Coleman's NHL career spent with a Flaming C on his chest. Of course, the other half split between New Jersey and Tampa Bay, the last place he was before signing with the Flames. But would have been nice to see Coleman pick up a victory in his 600th career game. Nonetheless, here is Blake Coleman postgame in Tampa Bay tonight as well.
Yeah, honestly, I thought we played a great game. We get a tough bounce on the kill in the first and gives them a little life. And then, one or two breakdowns they made us pay, and we just weren't able to bear down on the looks that we had. But I thought, as far as the team game went, I thought it was actually a really solid effort.
So no one leaves you hanging their head. They're feeling like you were continuing to move in the right direction.
Yeah, I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was a good effort. We got to find ways to score goals and get in goalies' eyes and finish chances. You know, I have a few stick in my head. I'm on myself right now. Just should have buried a couple, and it's the way it goes sometimes. So we got to play the same hockey, but like I said, find some offense, and we'll be okay the rest of this trip.
Did you feel like it was maybe, you know, a little more Vasilevsky, or were there some looks that, you know, maybe felt like you could have done something different with?
Oh, a little of both. I mean, he's one of the best goalies in the world. And, you know, if you're going to score on guys like that, you got to make it difficult and get some greasy ones and get in his face. And, you know, we got some posts, some looks. You know, I have a tip that has probably gone in. I tip it off my own leg, just things like that. It's the way it was tonight. Just couldn't find the bounces to get pucks past him. And, you know, and he's a good goalie, so always tip your cap.
After that first period, I mean, you feel like you play like a really good road first period and you get a break like that. What's the conversation like in here just about, you know, the positive mindset going back out?
Yeah, I think we were still confident. We liked our first period. You know, bad bounce goes off of skating in and nothing Wolfie or really anybody can do about it. It's just one of those bounces. And sometimes you get those, and sometimes you don't, like we didn't tonight. But, you know, I thought throughout the game we felt pretty good about our process. And, you know, if we do it again next game, we'll be all right.
Can you talk a little bit just about the energy that Lomberg's line brought again, third game in a row?
Yeah, they've been great. You know, they're playing to their identity and their role, and they're providing us a lot of juice and, you know, allowing guys to get a little bit of rest and things like that. So, you know, they're contributing offensively. They're playing hard, finishing checks. So, you know, we're happy with the way they're playing, and we're going to need them to continue to do that if we want to keep pushing for the playoffs.
There you go. Blake Coleman after his 600th career NHL game. Too bad unable to pick up the victory in it. Flames lose 3-0 against Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay sweeps the season series with two wins. They do it by an aggregate score of 11-3, but this one a whole lot closer than the one on December 12th at the Scotiabank Saddledome. That's your look from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. 2-4 to go on this monster 6-game road trip for the Flames. A win in Washington, a loss in Tampa Bay, and next up, the Florida Panthers. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. The text line is open at 960-960. Flames Talk post games available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And our Flames Talk post game continues next. This is Calgary Flames Hockey. Oh, by the way, before I throw it a break, tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Following a 3-0 loss on the road in Tampa Bay tonight, Flames Talk post-game well underway. It's Pat Steinberg with you, with the phone lines open at 403-240-4444 and the text line open at 960-960. We'll get there very shortly. Look, I thought all things considered, the Flames did a very good job in this game tonight playing on the road. I mean, were they perfect? Of course not. They lost the game. They did make a couple of mistakes. I guess there would be a few that you would point to that would end up deciding this game. The Kadri penalty, which, you know, you look at it, it's a penalty. It's not a bad call. I would have probably leaned more towards not calling it and just letting that go down as a puck battle between the Lightning player and Kadri. But they called it the trip. Could have been holding the stick. Kadri was trying to draw the penalty and make it look like he was getting hooked. And that's what a veteran does. And Kadri's, what, top 4 or 5 in the league when it comes to drawing penalties? Like, that's one of the things he is extremely gifted at. And it's why he's such an asset, or one of the reasons why he's such an asset to any team he plays on. But they end up calling him for the trip. And then Tampa capitalizes on it, on the weird bounce, the weird goal from Kucherov trying to go cross seam, instead goes off of Uyghur's skate, and it's a perfect redirect on the just inside the far post, and that's your game winner. The other one would be, and again, I don't even know if I classify it so much as a Flames mistake as I classify it as a great play by Anthony Cirelli. Like, that was Mark Stone level when it comes to forcing a turnover. And Cirelli played for Team Canada at the Four Nations. Cirelli, one of the best two-way players in the league. Cirelli, a guy who's going to be in the conversation for the Selke Trophy every season for the next 4, 5, 6 years, and makes a great play, strips Coronado on the boards, and that eventually 2-3 seconds later, ends up on Eric Chernak's stick, who has a lane right down high slot, and he walks right down and rips it past Dustin Wolf for the insurance. And then, you know, not really a mistake made on the empty netter. It just is what it is, and it's a 3-0 game. But, you know, couple of key mistakes end up hurting the Flames. That's why I say, was it a perfect game? No, but generally I thought they played a pretty good road game, did a much better job of not allowing quality opportunities from Tampa Bay. I thought did a better job tonight limiting quality opportunities than they did even against Washington two nights ago, but definitely compared to the last time they played Tampa Bay. But again, as I've said a couple times, that's a good Lightning team. That's a Lightning team with players who know how to win. That's a Lightning team comfortable playing in close games or playing in high-scoring games. You've got multiple Stanley Cup champions on the other side, and you've got multiple guys who know how to close out a game, even when they're not. I think you, even though the Lightning have now won 7 in a row, I think you can come away from that game saying, yeah, the Lightning didn't play an A game. They probably had a B minus or a C game themselves and found a way to win, which you've got to do in this league. So you kind of take a lot of the good things, and of which there was a lot for the Flames, and carry it over into Saturday's game against the Florida Panthers and see where the chips fall. To the phone lines and text line momentarily. One more look inside the Flames locker room before we do that. Let's hear from Mackenzie Wieger. He knows that building well as a longtime member of the Florida Panthers. And here's Flames defenseman Mackenzie Wieger postgame after this one tonight.
It's a good road game. First period was good. Obviously, you know, you'd like to limit their chance a little bit off the rush. But, you know, obviously tough bounce on that PK. You know, you hate to use that one as an excuse. But, you know, we got to find ways to score goals, especially, you know, on this road trip. But I thought, you know, the response throughout the game was great. And we need a big response in Florida.
Well, as Blake just said, you know, I feel like if you're going to put that effort on most nights, you're going to have some pretty good results from it. You kind of feel that same way?
Yeah, there wasn't too many things wrong. Like, you know, I've seen this team, you know, all it takes is that one chance. And obviously that in that third period, that opportunity, they got that one goal. You know, that kind of that dagger goal, what we were looking for it too. So we got to find ways to, you know, make it a little bit difficult in front of goalies and really bear down on our chances. You know, this is the time of year where we need those goals. So if that's the one area we need to improve on, then that's okay. I still think, you know, the chances in the first were a little bit iffy, but other than that, you know, it's a sound game.
Are you seeing some opportunities from the blue line, like, you know, to maybe chip in a little bit more for, in terms of maybe some shots or, you know, whatever it is?
Selection? Yeah, I'd like to, you know, find a little bit of offense to contribute. We're getting our opportunities. It's just, you know, just to find that lane, maybe a little harder of a shot. Maybe if there's a backdoor play, we got to find a way to, you know, make it hard. If there's a screen, so be it. But if there's a rebound there, we need that guy in front of that to bury it. But, you know, I think the chances are coming on the back end. We're jumping up. The forwards are doing a good job at giving us, you know, the puck up top. And we got to help them out a little bit, too, with the scoring.
I know they don't give up points for moral victories or effort, but, like, this is not the kind of game where you leave your hanging your head, right? The guys, I'm not sure you lost momentum. No.
We knew this road trip was going to be tough. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to show here with our response in Florida.
There you go. Mackenzie Wieger post-game tonight as the Flames fall 3-0 to Tampa Bay. They'll fly to Fort Lauderdale on this Thursday night. Won't play Friday. Will play Saturday afternoon. 1 p.m. face-off in Calgary for the Flames in Sunrise, Florida on Saturday, which means we're on the air with a noon pregame on Saturday. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960, starting with Mike, who says, pretty good effort by the Flames, but you're not going to win many games when you can't score any goals. And I do think the Flames probably made life a little too difficult on, a little too easy on Andre Vasilevsky. Didn't feel like there was a ton of traffic. And, you know, Vasilevsky's also an elite goaltender, a future Hall of Famer. You could probably induct him into the Hockey Hall of Fame right now, and he's got some of the best credentials in the history of the game already. But, yeah, Vasilevsky, too good to not have a lot of traffic. And then when they did have some traffic, did a nice job seeing through it. But yeah, obviously you're going to need to score goals if you're going to want to win games. And they generated a little, but not a ton in this game tonight. Generated, I thought, more quality chances than Tampa did, but probably still not enough to beat a guy regularly like Vasilevsky. Kyle says, Pat, I thought Calgary outplayed Tampa for most of the game. They kind of collapsed a bit defensively in the third, but really the bounces didn't go their way. They went Tampa's tonight. It happens. Still proud of this team. I didn't see any lackluster performances. Refs let a little too much go, but it was on both sides. I'm glad Hanley's playing more. He's an incredible defenseman, so consistent. He's really starting to show why he's dependable. Was a fun game to watch. Off to bed. 3 a.m. comes early. Want to work for me. Kyle, I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to decline on this occasion. Ask again, but I'm going to decline this time. Andy says, tonight's game went as expected. Low to no scoring from the Flames. Tonight's game was a reason why a player like Mikko Rantanen will never be a Flame. It's laughable when you guys talk about it. Please stop. Well, Andy, all I can say is that the Flames, if Rantanen becomes an unrestricted free agent, I believe the Flames will pursue him hard. Whether or not he signs here, I don't know. But I do think that they will chase him significantly. I don't know what... That's such a weird take. Well, this game means what are you talking about? Do I think Rantanen will sign here? Odds would say probably not. Hell, I still think there's a pretty decent chance he signs back in Carolina. But the fact that this game is the reason why he wouldn't sign here, I don't quite understand the logic on that one. So because the Flames, I believe, will make a significant pitch for him in free agency, I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's relevant. It truly is. It'll become irrelevant if he signs with Carolina or gets traded somewhere else between now and Friday and signs there. This from Trent. Can't win if you don't score. Oh, well, on to the next. Some craziness at the end. I guess booing in Montreal is getting chance of USA when Canadian teams come to town. That comes from Trent. This reads, Pat, I like the Flames' effort tonight, but it still comes back to their lack of scoring. I thought Frost and Farabee would help, but so far they aren't doing much. I still would like to see more from Farabee. I think would be the guy that you'd want to see more from most. But, I mean, it's three points in eight games for Frost, 1 point in eight games for Farabee. I thought they were just fine tonight. I didn't think they were good. I thought they were just there. They got fed a lot of ozone faceoffs, didn't do a whole lot with it. Look, I really do think with getting traded and kind of being shocked to be traded like they were, and on top of that, all of what goes into being with a new team, I think with both of them, but more so with Farabee, the way things went in Philadelphia with John Tortorella has left some scars. And so I think it's going to take a little bit of time for both those guys. But I think Farabee's the one even more so to get, you know, some of the confidence back. And I think the Flames are trying to do that. So I guess what I would say is, yeah, we can have opinions on and evaluate what we're seeing from Frost and Farabee this season. And I do think as time continues to go on, we'll see more and more from them. But I mean, I do think I just feel like maybe a better indication of what we'll really see from them, we might have to wait until the beginning of next season. But I'm not even trying to make excuses. I'm just saying it is what it is. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that have gone into this season for both guys. And just talking to a few people, I think that the way things went with John Tortorella as both guys ended up in his doghouse, I think shook some confidence with both players. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time for both those guys to get their confidence back. Jeff in Lethbridge says the Flames deserved a better fate. Terrible luck on the first goal. Also bad luck on the penalty kills. In my opinion, the effort was good, but the inability to finish continues to plague this group. They really need Farabee, Frost, and Sharon Govich to find some chemistry or perhaps change up the lines. It's funny on the Flames roundtable earlier today on Flames Talk, we were talking a little bit about lines. And so I do wonder if we might see some tweaks going into the game against the Panthers on Saturday afternoon. This reads from Morgan. Can someone get to the bottom of why this organization thought they needed to rush the Sharon Govich extension? I don't know if there was a thought they needed to rush it. I think that the thought at the time was, Here's a guy that they brought in as part of a significant trade, rewarded that trade with a 30-plus goal season last year, looked like a really, really important player for them going forward. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's been a rousing success this year, because it hasn't been. 11 goals, 22 points in 50 games. I think there's more there from Sharangovich. 11 goals and 22 points now in 51 games for Sharangovich. Tonight was game 51 for him. I think there's more there, and there's no question that they need more from him. But I do, like, I personally still don't think that the extension was a mistake. I understand why they did it. They kind of pounced on an opportunity to get a long-term deal with some cost certainty. And I do think that Sharangovich has more there. And the extension kicks, it's about $2.5 million raise on the cap hit he's at right now. So he's at 5.75 starting next season when it kicks in. Like, this is not I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's been an encouraging first year with the contract signed, and you're going to need more from him as the contract kicks in, the new deal kicks in next year. But I'm still not against the signing. I actually kind of, the idea was sound in my eyes. This year has not been strong, or as strong as the Flames would have liked, but I'm generally still on board with those types of deals. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's a failure or a success. Does it look like it's been a rousing success this year? As I said, obviously not. But I'm a big fan of when you've got the opportunity to get cost certainty for a guy that you think is going to be a part of this for a little while or a long while, to get it done. And so I still think the decision to sign Sharangovich was a sound one, even though this year has not been a strong one. Now, I'll definitely start to take a self-own or an L on that if next year at this time, more than midway into next year, we're still talking about a guy who is impacting games on a very irregular basis, then I'll be ready to walk that back. I'm just, at this point, I'm not ready to sit here and say it was a bad signing. This from Murray. Pat, how many points do you think they need on this trip to stay in contention? The Canucks and Kings both getting points the other night didn't help. Sounded like the boys played a good game with no puck luck, which is true. I don't know, because I don't know what's going to happen with Vancouver. I don't know how the Canucks are going to do on their road trip that they're on. I think that I said 3-2-1 would be a successful trip. And regardless of what the Canucks do, I think 3-2-1 is a successful trip for the Flames. And they're 1-1 so far. So now they got to go 2-1-1 in the final four before they return home, which I think is doable. No guarantee, but I think is doable. Rick in Lakeview says, good evening, Pat. Well, overall, I thought quite a solid effort by the team. Poorly executed pull of Wolf, given the squad's struggles in taking the Tampa zone. Didn't likely cost him, but just saying. Great outing from Wolf. They simply failed on numerous opportunities. I'm going to crap on one guy tonight since it relates directly to the scoring starvation. That's Sharangovich. This has been a very surprising disappearing act. Maximus Disappearists. Hoping for another solid effort on Saturday. Go Flames. That's from Rick. Second straight Sharangovich one. And yeah, Sharangovich needs to give him more. You know, we can talk about the contract to Morgan's text a little earlier. And I don't think the signing of Sharangovich, in my eyes, is a mistake as of yet. But that doesn't change the fact that he's having a generally lackluster season. There have been stretches where he's been okay, but by and large, this has been a really frustrating year, and we all know they need more from Sharangovich. That is inarguable. This from Brennan, think it's time to give Sharangovich a try on another line. Just need something to get him going. Wouldn't mind seeing him swapped with Zeri on the backline line. Could see that. I don't think that's out of the question at all. Clyde says, so Pat, what would Huska do now to get the offense going consistently to try and get past being goalied? Would you put Coronado, Frost, and Zeri on a line, or put Coronado back with Coleman and Backlund? Other notes from tonight, D and Wolf were great. Yeah, I mean, I I guess what I would say to all of the questions about, you know, lines and the way things are shaping up in terms of the top nine forwards, I still do believe it is a work in progress. I still do believe that Ryan Huska and this coaching staff are trying to figure out exactly how those nine guys fit. With Zeri back, with Frost and Farabee in the mix, you've got your pairs, like, you know, Backlund and Coleman, you know, Huberdeau and Kadri. And then from there, you're trying to plug in a third player on that line and figure out the right mix on that third line. So it remains very much a work in progress. It remains very much up in the air. And I think they're still trying to determine exactly what the best alignment is. And wouldn't be a surprise if we see slightly different lines for Florida on Saturday. Brian says, I think what we all need to remember right now with this team is that everyone's pointing towards opening night at the new arena. Conroy's ultimate question is going to be, what will it take for them to ice the best possible roster at that time? And I can tell you, Brian, that is exactly how the Flames are thinking as well. They're trying to put together a team that is ready to contend when the new arena opens in 2.5 years' time. This says, don't even start raving about Wolf. 16 saves is not great. Couple awesome saves, but definitely not good enough. I don't know what you're talking about with 16. He made 20 stops tonight, but fair enough. I thought Wolf was very strong tonight. Very strong. And was only beat on one goal. I mean, he wasn't beat on the Uyghur goal, or the Uyghur goal, the Kucherov goal off of Uyghur's skate. That was a fluky goal. And he got beat on the Chernak goal, where Chernak walked right down the pipe and wired it. So I thought Wolf was very good tonight. This reads, Pat, this is why on a team where talent is lacking, outworking the opposition some nights just does not pay off. It's games like this where I can see why Team Tank is aggravated, and wanting to push for drafting high. It is true. There will be nights in this league where you play a really strong, hardworking game and a better team beats you with their B or C game. And I think that's probably what Tampa had tonight, a B or a C game, and they beat a pretty hardworking Flames team. That'll happen sometimes. Jim says, that was a good game, but not a great game. Is there any chance Dan starts the next one and Dustin gets the second game of the back-to-back? Remind the rookie that he's just learning. Go Flames, go. Can't wait to see what happens in the next 20-plus. You know, Jim, for this one, I actually, like, if it were me, I would still go Wolf on Saturday, Vladar on Sunday. However, knowing that it's not the full two-day break, I guess what I would say is, I'm a little less certain what the Flames will do for Saturday's game. I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they go Dan Vladar in that game, because Wolf didn't win tonight, but more so, you don't get the full break. Now, it's Tampa to Florida. It's not a significant amount of travel, but you don't get the full, like, 5 p.m. start, day off, 5 p.m. start. It's or 7 local. It's a 7 p.m. start, day off, and then a 3 p.m. start local. So maybe they think about going Vladar and then Wolf on the second half. Wouldn't surprise me. All that being said, I'd still go Wolf, because the formula of Wolf on the first half of the back-to-back has worked pretty well. This from Claude. Pat, tough place to play and still have nightmares from 04, despite the rosters being turned over many times. Tough first goal. I liked everything about the game except no elite player wearing the flaming C. All in contrast to the other team. That comes from Claude. This reads, valiant effort tonight by the boys to go toe-to-toe against an elite team. Couple of bad breaks. The team with the with no so-called elite talent sure have that elite mentality. They'll battle you till the end and never surrender. Seen that so much this year. I love this current edition of the Flames. Even if the future doesn't deliver a generational player, which I believe Wolf is, there will always be all those assets Conroy has accumulated. Future is so, so, so bright. That's on the text line so far tonight at 96960. Keep them coming. Would love to hear from you on the text line tonight following a Flames 3-0 loss to Tampa Bay. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, and let's get to them. My name is Pat Steinberg, following a 3-0 loss to Tampa Bay, and Brian is kicking us off on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Pat, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Nice. Welcome aboard.
I'm really, really curious. As we look towards this week, I mean, Vancouver is currently winning 1-0. I'm curious, what do you do if you're Craig and we're sitting tied for the second wild card spot, or we're 2 points back, but we're also looking to the future. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Because, I mean, you know, games like tonight, games like Washington, we've been hustling, we've been working hard. How do you keep morale high in the locker room, both here and now, but also how do you ultimately work towards the new arena, the future, two years down the road? I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I think the answer is, I think anyway, pretty simple in that you stick to your plan. You stick to your bigger picture plan. And that is not going out and acquiring rental players, not using assets, future assets on guys who are outside of your age range. You stay to the plan. That plan is continue to get younger. When you can acquire younger players that fit what you need, yep, you pounce on that opportunity, but you don't all of a sudden alter what your plan is and what your direction is, and I don't think they will. So if they're sitting two back, one back tied, I think Craig Conroy would be very open to making a deal for an impact player if that impact player fits the age range, if that impact player could be here now and help the team now, but also be a long-term fit for the group. And then, you know, I think the message would be, if that isn't there and they don't go out and kind of significantly upgrade the team for right now, I think the message would be, this is the group that's got us here. We've got faith in you. Go out and make the playoffs with this group. We're not going to subtract from it. Go out, make the playoffs, and show faith in the group that way, which I think is probably the highest betting line in terms of what happens. So, look, this is not, like, the plan is not focused on this season and this season alone. There's a bigger picture at play here.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. I mean, I think if we're all honest, no one expected us to be where we are right now.
Yeah.
So enjoy the ride. Have a ton of fun. I mean, this season's been pretty magical. And I think if I'm Craig Conroy, I mean, this is an ideal position to be in, right? Because nobody had us here. And I think, yeah, it's been a heck of a lot of fun. And we're going to go nowhere but up going forward for sure.
All right, Brian, I appreciate the call, man. You have yourself a great night.
Yeah, you too, pal. Take care.
Thanks, Brian. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. As the Flames lose 3-0 to Tampa Bay, we say hello to Jim on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good, thanks. The Flames had a good game tonight. Sucks that they lost, but I just wanted to say that they had a pretty bad setup. Like, they could have had a better setup tonight, you know? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, on the offense. The offense setup was kind of bad tonight.
I mean, they didn't generate a ton, but...
No, they didn't.
Vasilevsky's also a really good goalie.
They played really
good.
Like, yeah, a lot of players played really good. But, also, I wanted to ask you, too, and that wasn't even really my question, but I wanted to ask you a question. So the Flames have, like, a whatever it is, an $18 million thing to get some players. Do you think they'll get a good player coming up?
Sorry. I'm a little confused. Ask the question again.
For the cap,
yeah,
right?
they've got lots of cap space. But what was the actual question?
Yeah, like, do you think they'll bring in another player before?
Okay, well,
the deadline.
To the previous question on Brian's call, I think if it's within their age range and it makes sense, like, and they can make a deal with somebody, then I think they'd be very open to it. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I was hearing stuff about, like, Mitch Marner or something, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, first of all, Toronto's not going to trade Marner before the deadline. Whether or not Marner re-signs in Toronto, sure, I don't know. He's not going to be dealt before the deadline. And the other thing with Marner is, I don't think that you're going to, I don't think that you're going to be talking about Marner wanting to play in Canada outside of Toronto. I think he would sign back with the Maple Leafs, but I don't think he's signing, from what I've been told from very good sources, like people that I trust. He's not signing in Canada unless it's the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, no, I can see that. But can you see another player at that caliber coming to Calgary?
I mean, outside of like a Dylan Cousins or somebody like that, which I don't think is a high probability. I would be quite surprised if they were able to get something done like that before the trade deadline.
Right. Okay.
All right, Jim.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, no problem. Call back anytime. Appreciate it, Jim, as the phone lines remain open at 403-240-4444 as the Flames fall 3-0 in Tampa Bay. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat on this Thursday night. Let's say hello to Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you? Good, man.
Good. So I kind of want to talk about this road trip and kind of bring out the positives and hear your thoughts. So I personally think these first two games were the hardest of this road trip. You're playing Tampa, who is just always good. They're 1-2 of the last 5 Stanley Cups. You have Washington, who is just a powerhouse right now. Going 1-1, like on that first part of the road trip, I think is huge, because I'm pretty confident in my prediction. I think the Flames can win 3 of the next 4 on this road trip. Mainly because you're going to probably split the back-to-back. I think they can do it. And then I think the Flames play really well in Dallas. They
they have played very well in Dallas recently, yep.
You have Coleman, who's going to love playing at home. Philly, you just hope that maybe that's going to be the little kickstart that gets Barbie and Frost kind of going, playing back in Philly. And then kind of they want to maybe show up Tortorella in his face. So I think the Flames can go 3 out of and actually finish this trip with that'd be a 4-2 record, which, looking at the boys up north that are doing the exact same road trip, 0-4, so that's something to be happy about as well.
I mean, in the end, what the Oilers are doing on their trip doesn't really matter. They lost in Florida and they're going to be fine. It's weird. They're like setting the table for the Flames. The last 3, Washington, Tampa, and now Florida, the Oilers were the team that was in there right prior. But I mean, could the Flames take 3 of the next 4? Sure they could. They're a team that they've got the type of the brand of hockey they play, I think, gives them a chance on most nights. But as we saw tonight, you can still play a really good game and lose to some of these teams that, I mean, Florida won't have Tkachuk, but they're still the defending Stanley Cup champions. Carolina is an elite hockey team and is very good on home ice. And Dallas is one of the best teams in the West. So could they take 3 or 4? Sure they could. And that's why you play the games. Let's see how it goes.
No, exactly, and I don't use Edmonton as a comparison for the standings because they're where they're at and the Flames are where they are. I look at it more as kind of the stepping stones of Oilers went all the way to the finals last year. They're in their contention years, and it's kind of nice because you get to watch how they've played against these teams, and then you get to watch the Flames come right behind and play those same teams. And the Flames are just playing those teams so much different than the Oilers, and the Oilers have this mentality where they got McDavid, they got Draisaitl. They're going to go into these away rinks and they're going to try and have a shootout and try outskill the other teams. And the Flames are going into these arenas playing, I think, really, really well defensive hockey. And they have the goaltending edge on the Oilers, I think. I saw Skinner give up a couple weak ones today against Florida. And I think the Flames are, while they're in this development stage, are building off of just play hard defensive hockey. And there are only a few pieces that can throw the puck in the net away, like you saw tonight. They just couldn't get anything generated from actually being a well-balanced hockey team that's closer to contention than we actually think. And I think a big thing is just figuring out what to do with Barbie and Frost. I'm not a big fan of having them with Sharon Govich because like you said before with a couple of the callers and the text line, they're on the brink of, like, they're just trying to get that confidence back from where they were with Tortorella. And I think Sharon Govis just hasn't been a great player, missing training camp, and he's just having an off year, and you don't know what's going on with him, and it happens after injury. You miss training camp, you're a little behind, and he's having a disappointing year. I think Husk is doing an awesome job, and he always seems to make changes on the fly and does what he has to ice the best lineup. I just don't think those three should be together. You have two guys that are trying to build their confidence back, and you have a guy who's, you know, he signed his contract, he's coming off an injury, and he's just trying to get his footing back. And I think
when he's not feeling confident, I think that affects his game. We're talking about Sharon Govic. That affects his game more so than maybe it does other players. I think when Sharon Govic is not feeling his best and the confidence level isn't high, I think that we see him really struggle with his game. And I think that, you know, that's interesting, an interesting perspective on because you got two guys coming from Philly trying to get their game back, and Sharon Govic, who's definitely battled off and on with consistency and confidence this year. I think there's something to that for sure.
And, like, I like the idea of putting them together to try and help them get their confidence built up. But if I think with Sharon Govic, if he's not going to produce, it seems to be the go-to. Like, no one ever criticizes Coleman and Backlund for not delivering offense. They're one of our best shutdown lines.
And Sharon Govic is a good two-way player. Exactly.
So if Sharon Govic isn't going to put it in the back of the net, it almost seems like if he's alongside those two guys that are on the shutdown line, everyone's going to be a little upset that he's not producing, but hey, maybe he'll get some extra looks on that line. But at the same time, if he's shutting down, you know he's doing a role. And until he gets his confidence back, at least he'd be doing something. I didn't really see a lot of outstanding defensive plays or anything that really stood out from that Barry Frost, Sharon Govich line today.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they were just kind of there tonight.
And it seems like Farabee would do well, like throw. I honestly think the simplest move with only moving player for player is put Zari with those two new guys. And I just think the spark that Zari's going to have coming out of injury, I think that maybe he could get those two fired up. But I believe in Huska, and I usually don't criticize his lineups. So I think he'll figure it out. And hopefully, I think as soon as those three guys start coming around the corner, maybe right on this home stretch, could make the biggest difference for the season.
Could, yeah. And I did want to double back on the Flames-Oilers comparison. I do think it's a little, I think it's a little, I don't know what the right word is, but the Oilers are actually one of the better defending teams in the NHL in terms of the way they defend high danger chances. They're one of the better possession teams in the NHL. Like, we all want the Oilers to lose, but they didn't get to Game 7 of the Cup Final last year by relying on outscoring teams and relying on, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl leading the way in a bunch of 7-5 wins. The Oilers have turned into one of the better teams in the NHL, and they're going to be looked at as a Stanley Cup favorite going into the playoffs this year. So I know that we all want to talk about the Oilers and how they're this and that, but the reality is right now they're in a contending window because Knobloch's got them playing. Right now they're no good. They've been awful since the break, but by and large they're one of the better all-round teams in the league. They defend well. I know Bouchard's having a real issue, but they do defend really a whole lot better than they have. And you take a look at what they do in terms of 5-on-5 chances against. They're one of the better teams in the NHL. They're one of the better teams in generating. So I just think it's a little dangerous to be like, oh, well, the Flames will be fine. And the Oilers have generational players. And I do think it's important to point out that the Flames probably need to find themselves a number one center and a franchise center at some point if they're going to be in a contending window. I guess that's kind of the long story short in terms of the point I'm trying to make there.
No, I totally agree with you. And I'm never going to cheer for the Oilers. But
no, nobody's cheering for the Oilers. Believe me, you. I just, the Oilers kind of fell into drafting McDavid, as we know, and they got Draisaitl with a third overall pick too. They've got some franchise pieces over there that can play down the middle, and that now in the next couple of years is what the Flames somehow have to find a way to bring into this organization.
No, exactly. And my hot take is I don't think the Oilers are ever going to host a Stanley Cup with Skinner in their crease. And that's just my opinion. I don't think that he's... You need to make big saves in the final. Bobrovsky did and Skinner didn't. So
That I think we're a little more aligned on. I still would not be as confident as you'd want to be with a Stanley Cup. With Stanley Cup aspirations, I think you'd like to be a little bit more confident in your goaltending than what the Oilers have with Skinner. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one.
Exactly. Well, hope you have a great night, Pat. And hey, maybe I'll call at the end of the road trip and maybe I'll be right on the 2 of 3.
Yeah. And if you are, we will make sure that we give you all the credit in the world. Be well. Great stuff, Nick. Call back anytime.
Of course. Have a good one, Pat.
You too. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number following a Flames 3-0 loss on the road in Tampa Bay. Now 1-1 on this 6-game road trip as we say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm good, man. I feel a little gross about those things I said about Edmonton. The only reason I said them is because I need to continue, in my eyes, driving home the point that, hey, Flames are, I really like the way that they're going about their business, and I really like the way things are progressing. I think Craig Conroy, I keep saying, let Conroy cook, and I really do believe that. But I think Conroy knows, George, you know, everybody knows that at some point they're going to have to find themselves a center. But as of right now, in year one of a rebuild, and there's a lot to like. Anyway, I digress. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, 100%. Listen, Patty, facts are facts, whether we're talking about the Calgary Flames or the Edmonton Oilers, or the Winnipeg Jets. Facts are facts. Edmonton is what they are. How they got there, we all know how they got there, but the bottom line is they're where they're at. And, you know, I hope they don't win a cup either, but I mean, it's a possibility now, and that's what happens when you have a team like that, and that's what we hope the Calgary Flames will have 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, right? So stating facts, whether it makes you feel gross or not, is one thing. But facts, my friend, are unfortunately just that, facts,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What'd you think tonight, my man?
I may be in the minority, but I liked their game tonight for the most part. I thought they played really hard, and I told you that's been a point of pride for me all season with this team. With the roster that they have, they continue to play hard. It's very rare that we speak to each other and this team, you know, hasn't played hard. I can count maybe on one hand where the effort wasn't there. So that's been a positive this year, and I think it will continue to be a positive whether they make the playoffs or whether they don't make the playoffs. So I was very pleased with the effort, but a very similar script rears its ugly head again, and they can't score goals. And that's, from now until the end of the season, I just don't see that changing. That's going to be the MO of this team, is to play as hard as they can, defend as well as they can. They have strong goaltending. The goaltending is, in my opinion, the number one reason why they are where they are in the standings. And I think it will continue to do so. And I think that's why it's going to come down right to the wire at the end of the year, whether they do make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. One of the things that you can say this year is that you always know, like the Flames have a very, very clearly definable identity. And that's not something that we've been able to say on a regular basis over the last number of years, at least on a consistent basis, right? And so they've got an identity. They play to that identity on a regular basis, and it gives them a chance to win or be competitive in most games that they're in. Like tonight, they had a chance to win this game. They were competitive. Tampa Bay's got a more high octane offense. They've got more talent on their roster compared to the Flames, but Calgary was competitive, was beyond competitive. They played a really good game tonight. They did not find a way to score. And obviously that's the biggest reason why they lost this game. But you do know game in, game out what to expect from the Flames. It's been a while since you could say that they've got a very discernible identity, and they play to that identity on a regular basis.
very true. And I remember you and I for a good 2-3 years straight would have the conversations.
Like trying to figure out what it is, right?
Yeah, we'd always, you know, we'd always talk about what is the identity of this team?
Yeah.
Why can't they find an identity, you know? One year with Sutter, they had it. And then the year, you know, that year afterwards, just everything fell apart. For whatever reason, they just, you know, whatever the reason was, they didn't want to play for him that year. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to leave Calgary. But, you know, we've had the discussion quite a bit. And this year, at least we're not having that discussion. And that's definitely a good thing. So I'm glad about that. Yegor Sharangovich's bad season unfortunately continues. And I actually thought he'd be one of the players that would most benefit from the 2-week break. But he still looks very anemic out there. And it's sad to see. Who knows what it is? I know he was injured early on in the year, but I don't, unless we find out at the end of the season that it's something that just really prevented him from carrying out certain skills.
I don't think that we will. I think that the injury, I think there's my best guess in terms of what happened. I think the injury messed up the start of his season. It was in the final game of the preseason, remember? So he gets hurt. That messed up the start of his season, knocked him out for a bunch of games early on. Then when he came back, I don't think that like he came back too early in terms of the actual recovery, but you know, maybe for him was just a little bit too early coming back in terms of where his head was. And then all of a sudden he's not doing much at all. He's being a very tentative player, and then the points aren't coming. And I think with Yegor, when he's not helping the team and he's not generating offensively, he gets really down on himself. And I just think it kind of started a bit of a vicious cycle there. So I to me, that's my best read on what's happened. I don't think the injury has anything to do with it anymore, but I do think the confidence spiral for a guy that I think does not do very well when the confidence isn't high. Like I think that affects him more than it does a lot of other players. I think that's kind of what we're seeing from Yegor right now.
I think you make a very good point there, Patty. I think it's pretty clear that he's lacking confidence right now. And it's kind of funny because if you look back at when he played for New Jersey, he had one really stellar year. The next year, he followed it off with a very off year. And his time with the Flames is falling almost to a T, the exact same script, right? Last year was a phenomenal year, went beyond my expectations for sure. And then this year, very lackluster. So it's kind of funny to see the similarities between that year with New Jersey that he had and then the following year where he was completely off it. And then all of a sudden he fell out of favor with New Jersey brass, right? They decide, hey, you know, we'll trade him to Calgary. He comes to Calgary, has a phenomenal year, year one, year two, not so much. He signs the contract, right, for $5.75 million.
$5.75 million,
which I'm with you. I'm not at all ready to say that that was a stupid move by Calgary. I think if he can get closer to what he was last year, that'll still be a very good contract, because that's not like he earned that contract based on his play, right? I thought when they signed the contract, that was a really good deal for him. And I think, you know, I think he can still live up to that, but we'll see, you know, if he can or not. But I definitely wasn't against the contract when they signed it, and I'm not ready to poo-poo that contract just quite yet.
I do think that, you know, Sharangovich has got to do a couple of things. Number one, he's got to be much better down the stretch. Number two, he's got to be much better next season. And then the third one is, which kind of ties it all together, but he's got to buck a trend here. You know, the up and down, because you talked about it, had a good season in Jersey and then a down season. He was very up and down in New Jersey, had a great first season for the most part in Calgary, and now his second season with the Flames has been generally quite lackluster. So, you know, he's got to prove now that he can be a consistent player season to season, and that starts with having a bounce back year next year. And that probably is helped out by being much better down the stretch too.
Yeah, 100%. A final point / observation for you, my friend, I'll let you go. But I know that I believe there was one texter who thought Dustin Wolf was no good tonight. I will say, A, I completely disagree with that. And B, I know that he didn't get a lot of shots on net tonight. I think it was 21 or 22. But there was, I can count at least three saves that were very, very good saves. The guy stopped two breakaways, And then he makes that one save there when they're down 2-0, where they make it 3-0 at that point.
Yeah.
The game is completely over. So I thought Wolf was actually really, really good tonight, even though he only got 22 shots on net. And I just think, he's been probably the strongest part of our team. And, for all the haters and naysayers, I don't know what you're watching, but this guy continues to prove game in and game out that he's the future of this team in net anyway. So that's all I got to say about that, my friend. I hope you have a fantastic night. Next two games are afternoon games. You may not hear from me. Is it me or is there a lot of afternoon games for the Flames this year?
Been a few. Actually, I'm not suggesting you're wrong. I just don't know off the top of my head if there have been more than normal or not.
It just seems like it. It seems like more than normal. But anyway, it's what it is. Hope you have a good night, buddy. Thanks for having me on, eh?
Thank you, Georgie. Appreciate it, pal. 403-240-4444 is your phone number if you want to chat tonight. Got a few lines open if you want to join in on the Flames Talk post-game show this evening following a 3-0 loss in Tampa Bay. It's Anand up next. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, Patty. How are you this evening?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Definitely agree with all the previous callers and texts. Of course, a well-played game, but a couple mistakes here and there and a couple chances that we couldn't capitalize as well. A couple questions for you. I know this has been discussed already, but would you like to see maybe a line of like Faraby, Frost and Zary, and then Sharangovich, Backlund, Coleman? What are your thoughts? If you can go a little bit detailed on that.
Yeah, I honestly, at this point, Anand, I'm because the top nine is a real work in progress.
Yeah,
I think that you could put together a few different combinations, and I'd be open to seeing them. And one of them would be putting Zary with Faraby and Frost. And I actually wonder if splitting Faraby and Frost up might be the way to go. Could you do Faraby on the Backlund line and see if that could get him going? Keep Frost and Sharangovich together and maybe put Zary there or Coronado there. I think put Sharangovich up with Kadri and Huberdeau. Like, I think because the top nine is such a work in progress still, and because there are still so many things that either they're trying to determine and figure out what works best with, I think there's a lot of different combinations you could play with. So the ones you suggested, I'd be interested in seeing. The ones I just added on to those suggestions, I'd be interested in seeing. I think there's a lot of different things they could do. And honestly, Powell probably will do between now and the end of the season.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. All right, second question for you. Do you think Klapka will get a game anytime during this road trip, or do you think that's undecided right now?
Undecided, but the fourth line has given them some pretty good minutes here on this trip. They since the break, the fourth line's given the Flames some pretty good minutes. I thought tonight they were not as they weren't as big of a factor as they had been the prior two, but still had some moments. But could you see Klapka get in? I think, sure, there's a possibility that could happen. And if that were to happen, my guess would be maybe on the second half of the back-to-back in Carolina.
Okay, gotcha. And then I'm also going to ask you a goaltender question based off one theory you have suggested before. I know Dustin Wolf has faced Florida Panthers before, and you said maybe a goaltender that has faced a team this season, like if they're facing for the second time, do you go with the other goalie options? So starting Dan Blatter in the first half, back-to-back, and then Dustin Wolf on the second half. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a fair, like, usually I'm pretty adamant that you go Wolf on the first half, Vladar on the second half. I think that you could make an argument for flipping it for the first time this season. I still probably would go with Wolf myself against Florida, and then Carolina against with Vladar. But because of a few reasons, I mean, you added another reason to it about, you know, Wolf shut him out last time. Maybe you do go Vladar against the Panthers, but and not let the Panthers, you know, try to work their way past Wolf for a second time. But on top of that, it won't be the full rest that you usually get when you're playing every second day. So that might factor into it. So I think if it were me, I'd still lean towards going Wolf against Florida, Vladar against Carolina. But for the first time this year, it wouldn't surprise me if they went the other direction. And I could see why.
All right. Final question for you on that Farabee call that they missed where he got some blood on the teeth. Do you think that was a missed call, or what are your thoughts on that?
What, the Kucherov play?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a missed call. I mean, I don't know what you'd call it.
Maybe like elbowing or something like that, because that's something similar to high sticking.
But he didn't get him with the elbow.
Gotcha. Yeah, fair enough.
It was incidental, and like you're allowed to be swinging your arm and have it catch somebody. Like, I don't know if it was a missed call. It definitely wasn't intentional. It definitely wasn't a chicken wing. It definitely wasn't a vicious elbow or anything like that. It wasn't really roughing. It wasn't interference. I just don't know what you call that. So like I actually didn't mind that being a no call. And then it didn't really matter, because then Kucherov went and took a high stick right afterwards. So in the end, it honestly was much ado about nothing, because if they call Farabee, make the call on Farabee, then Kucherov doesn't take the high sticking penalty. And literally it was like 15 seconds later that the same guy took the high sticking penalty. So it really was much ado about nothing, but I don't think it was, in my opinion anyway, I don't know if that is a missed call.
All right, gotcha. And final question for you, just while sticking to the topic of officiating, I have one proposal or thought for you. Let me know if you would like to respond as well. But when it comes to like coaches challenge or reviewing, I kind of want to see the NHL if they can implement like the cricket system, where they maybe allow a team or the players to maybe take one or two review per game, like within a limit, and see if they can challenge the decision or override it just because if they think a call is unfair. Your thoughts on that?
So I'm not sure I understand.
So basically in cricket, if let's say a call get missed from your team, and then you're able to contest the decision, you can ask the the coaching staff to review it. So if the players have some power to, because they see it up front on the ice, so if there are some missed calls, if they can review it. And
so you want to have it. You're talking about like the players having the ability to challenge?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not as big a fan. Like, I think video review needs to be there to correct egregious misses.
Yeah.
And things that like are clearly like that are black and white and clearly got missed. And it's not a shot at officials at all. Like, it's the game's the fastest it's ever been. And I think the video review tool helps. I guess what I like the fact that there's a limit to it. I like the fact that it's only coming from the coaches. I feel like if all of a sudden you put it in players' hands, it's really going to slow down the game. And one of the NHL's best attributes is how fast the game is. So I'm not as big a fan of that. I think it's a little more conducive to a sport like cricket, or even in baseball. Anand, they have a very similar, like they've got a lot of different things that they can challenge, and managers can challenge a number of different times. And it's a little more conducive in that sport, because both cricket and baseball are stop and start sports, whereas hockey's a very continuous flow sport. So I don't like it as much. And I kind of like, I hate how much the VAR gets involved in Premier League and Champions League and La Liga games and stuff like that. I think it's relied on a little bit too much. So I like the fact that the human side still has a part to play in NHL officiating.
Yes, no, I agree with you. Just wanted to get your thoughts. I thought it would be something unique or that can be discussed. All right, thanks so much, Pat. Have a good night, and talk to you on Saturday.
Okay, Anand, be well, buddy. Appreciate it as always. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. You want to call? You got some lines open. We can chat right now on our Flames Talk postgame show following a 3-0 loss in Tampa Bay. The text line remains open as well at 960-960. Keep your texts coming if you want to chat with us on this Thursday night. It's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf back in net tonight, and his Save of the Game comes in period number one.
Lightning score a power play goal. They probably shouldn't have had that power play. Now they've got a 2-on-1 point. Near side to Kucherov, who shoots, and Wolf flashes the leather and makes a fantastic save.
And that ends up being one of the 20 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. As we just talked about with Anand, I'm really interested to see where the Flames go with this goaltending decision. Do they go what they've done all year on back-to-backs and go Wolf on the first half, Vladar on the second half, or because there's a little less time between games, because Wolf lost tonight, because Wolf posted a shutout against Florida next last time, and maybe you want to give him Vladar this time around? I am really curious, and probably more curious than I have been at any point going into a back-to-back this year, if they go with the regular formula of Wolf Vladar, or if they flip it a little bit and go Vladar on the first half and then Wolf on the second. Final score from Tampa. Flames lose it 3-0 to the Lightning. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. We'll throw out the last call for phone calls right now. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, give us a call now, 403-240-4444, and keep your text coming. Lots more text to get to tonight, 960-960 on the text line. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, it's last call for phone calls. If you're listening live, last call if you want to jump on hold right now at 403-240-4444. If you're on hold, stay there. But your last chance to jump in on the phone lines. Text line remains open as well at 960-960. Flames lose 3-0 on the road in Tampa Bay tonight. Game 2 of a 6-game road trip. Our final look inside the Flames locker room right now. Whale of a game from Flames D-man Joel Hanley. Let's hear from Joel postgame in Tampa Bay tonight.
I think what Blake said, I thought we played a good game. A lot of the times these games come down to, you know, little breaks here and there and special teams. And I thought overall we had a good game and we just couldn't get one.
When you, obviously get that tough break on the first one, you know, just late in the first period, feel like you had a pretty good road period. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you kind of handle that, manage that moving forward? It's, you know, still trying to stay positive.
Yeah. They got a lucky break. They obviously have a great power play. So that was one of the keys for us. And I thought we had a really good second period too. I thought we were kind of dominating them a bit, and we just couldn't buy one to tie it up there. And I think once they got the second one, it kind of unfortunately the sails out of us a bit. And I think it's something that we can definitely build on, and I think it shows that, you know, we can play with some of the best teams in the league. And something to build off of for sure.
What's the biggest challenge defensively, like obviously with that team, and you know, you were able to manage them pretty well, mm-hmm. you know, on the defensive side, and just, you know, big credit to the six of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of high-end talent. A lot of guys are, you know, playing for Team Canada, and they have a great team too. So, a lot of times these games come down to little breaks and special teams. And, you know, Wolfie played great, and so did their goalie too. So always comes down to little bounces here and there.
Last one for you, that's still plenty to build on here. Take, you know, obviously from Washington and now here tonight.
Yeah, but I think it just shows, you know, what we're capable of, and, you know, we have still lots to prove and to build off of, but it's a great stepping stone, and it's a hard road trip, so we want to continue to keep playing good hockey.
There's Joel Hanley postgame tonight in Tampa Bay, our final look inside the Flames locker room. Also heard from Blake Coleman. We heard from Mackenzie Weegar and head coach Ryan Huska. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. Jeremy writes in, Pat, I know the fourth line is showing glimmers lately. However, would you give any consideration to Matt Rempe? He's a young right-handed center, adds an element I believe is lacking in the lineup. Thanks. That comes from Jeremy. I I'm not as big a Rempe guy as others are. I don't think that that is something that's lacking in the lineup. I don't think he's a generally effective player for the most part. So I'm not a big Rempe guy. And I'm not saying that just because I love GVP on the morning show. I just am not a big Rempe guy myself either. That being said, I don't think that a right-handed center is something they shouldn't chase. I still think that there is a need for a right-handed guy if you can get it without it being a massive price to pay. But Rempe wouldn't be the guy for me. Tim says, would like to see Sharangovich and Zeri switch spots. What else we got here at 960? This says, Farabee has PTSD, post-Tortorella stress syndrome, or disease, post-Tortorella stress disease. And I only read that one because post-Tortorella, that is funny. I don't like to make light of actual PTSD because it is a very serious and real thing, but post-Tortorella, that is kind of funny because I do think, Tortorella left a impact on Farabee and Frost before they were traded here to Calgary. This says, I don't understand how the Flames are going to make a 3-year plan work. Their top two centers will be 38 and 37. Four of six top six forwards are in their 30s right now. Trying to stay competitive right now is causing them to stay mediocre. And in 3 years' time, they'll still be mediocre. They need to draft low and get a legit number one center that the franchise has been missing for 30 years. Look, I'm not suggesting or I'm not guaranteeing that this plan, it's not just a 3-year plan. They'd like to be competitive and ready to be a playoff team when the new building opens, but it's a 3 to 5 year plan. And Craig Conroy has come right out and said that it's a 3 to 5 year plan. And so that gives Zane Parekh time to develop. That gives them time to continue looking for a center, whether it's via the trade route or whether it is via the drafting route. I get it. I understand the skepticism, and it's not an easy path that they're trying to forge here, but it is still very early in this process. Remember, this is just year one of the plan. This says, I think they have to go through this so they build outside the playoffs. To lose out early in the playoffs without this growing is deflating. Grow into a playoff team, now build some more character. They're losing, but bringing four players along. Ups and downs happen at any time. I think I understand the gist of that text. This says, the trade with the Flyers has seemed to mess up the chemistry of the team. Losses are piling up since the trade. I don't think that it has messed up the chemistry, but I don't know that for sure. And I still think it was a worthy trade to make, specifically with no disrespect to Farabee. I think it was still a worthy trade to make because Farabee is a longer term center for this team, which they absolutely need. This says from Karen, my prediction, they'll stick with their goalie plan they made for the trip. Wolf will be in net Saturday. Wasn't his fault. The team in front of him couldn't score tonight. The only thing I'd say, Karen, is we don't know what that plan is. They have not come out and said what that plan is. I think we're all just assuming it would be Wolf on Saturday. And like nobody has, they have not laid out the plan for us, right? The plan was Vladar on Tuesday, Wolf on Thursday, but they haven't laid out the plan from there on out. I do think they'll stick with their plan, whatever it is. We just don't know what that plan is. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. And a couple more phone calls before we wrap things up on our Flames Talk post-game show. Available wherever you get your podcast following a 3-0 loss in Tampa Bay. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on this Thursday night. What's up, Kyle? You're up next on Flames Talk post-game.
Oh, how's it going?
Kyle, how are you, man?
I'm busy tonight.
It's been a good show.
Yeah, it was good. Good show so far. I was watching the game. I thought Vasilevskiy put up a brick wall, and I mean the boys are buzzing. I just don't think they could have got one past them, really. I mean, not much you could do, but our blue line, I mean, with ball back, it still looks okay, and they got a lot of star-studded talent. But I just think they Kadri coughed it up a couple times, I thought, honestly. what do you think about their – well, they're scoring, I guess.
What do I think about what?
Like, they're scoring. I think the chemistry's there. Just couldn't really get it past Vasilevskiy. I think
It
was still a pretty solid game.
They played well tonight. I thought they did a lot of good things. I think they probably could have put more bodies on a regular basis in front of Vasilevskiy. I thought their power play hurt them tonight, which hasn't been the case very often, but the power play hurt them in this game tonight, especially in the second period. But even their third period power play was pretty meh. They could have made life a little more difficult on Vasilevskiy. But I thought generally they played a pretty solid game tonight.
I thought so. You can't do it. They got some pretty top tier talent and Vasilevskiy there. And I mean, there's a big question at the end of this road trip. There's the trade deadline. You think there's going to be any huge moves? I mean, I think the Sabres are sellers and Dylan Cousins would be a sweet center and Bowen Byram, left-handed defenseman. I mean, those could be some big acquisitions if we're willing to give up, like, one of the blue-chip guys. Like, not that Kadri would be a good, but, like, you got to give something to get something back, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that would fit what the other side's looking for, though, you know? I don't know if a 34-year-old Kadri with 4 years left on his deal is something that brings back that type of return or is the type of player the type of player that, you know, would be part of a desired package going the other way.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like we got a lot that we could, because we got a lot of young guys coming up and everything, like Vidar and maybe a couple of our D-men. And some picks. I mean, I feel like that could be doable.
For Byram?
Right in...
For Bowen Byram?
Bowen Byram and Cousins, I think.
For Vladar and a couple picks? Come on, man.
I'm dreaming, but I think...
Vladar's an unrestricted free agent, and the Sabres are done rebuilding. That's why What do you mean? Like the Sabres aren't interested. From everything you hear, the Sabres aren't interested in, like, futures. They want impact players right now, but Kadri's 34 years old. I don't know if that's the type of guy they're looking for. I'm a huge Kadri fan, but, like, I think the Sabres are looking for, like, you know, 26, 27-year-old guys that can jump in and help them right away if they're going to move on from a guy like Bowen Byram, who's 23. So I don't think Vladar and a couple picks are going to get it done.
No, yeah, just like a massive package. I mean, I think we'd have to give up a lot, but that 23, 24 would go, because you think about the Sabres, and they've been talking about, like, sales, but yeah, no, you're definitely right. I don't know if we have what they want. But I think the team looked really solid. Above all, I think we did awesome in Washington. And I think there's a lot of ups to everything. And I think they just got to move on some guys to get Cooley up even. Cooley would be a good guy to get some experience at the NHL level.
I think that the Cooley conversation is fair if they're a little more out of it. I mean, obviously, if they trade Vladar, then Cooley will come up for sure. But, you know, if they're out of it, then maybe we see Cooley get some minutes. But I continue to say, and this is my opinion, I'm not saying it's gospel, of course, but yeah. My opinion is that Cooley getting the games in the NHL, in the American League, rather, right now, and, you know, getting the number one workload in the American League, like, that to me is the really important thing, because he's never had a number one workload before in his professional career. So I think him continuing to get a ton of starts in the AHL and playing that number one workload for the first time is far more desirable than, you know, not playing a ton behind Dustin Wolf down the stretch. So I don't think you make a Vladar move, in my eyes anyway. I don't think you make a Vladar move just to make room for Cooley. I think that Cooley will have plenty of room to join the team next year.
Yeah, lots of time to develop, for sure. It did wonders for Wolf, and everybody wanted to rush him, and he's looking like the guy, and Zari. They've done a really good job developing all these young guys, and it looks promising, and I really hope they make the push, and I don't want to hold up all your other callers, so I'll let you go on that note. I think we look okay.
It was a solid effort. They had some trouble scoring tonight, no doubt.
He's a brick wall. There's not much you could do.
Vasilevsky's one of the best in the world. He could, if he retired today, he'd be in the Hall of Fame in 3 years.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good night. Have fun.
Be well, Kyle. You have yourself a great night too, hey?
Yeah, you too. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. And our final call tonight goes to Michael. What's going on, Michael? Welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I've been a Flames fan a long time and kind of listening to all sorts of different podcasts, trying to figure out what to do with or what is the best direction for this team. And it seems like nobody really knows, and it's hard to find ways to make the team better because everything seems kind of like a gamble. But my biggest worry is I just feel like we're not ringing enough alarm bells about kind of our lack of scoring. Like, we keep talking about how, you know, they're working hard and stuff like that, but at the end of the day today, like, I just feel like they couldn't really generate any offense that was remotely dangerous. You know, they got their shots, but I didn't feel like any of it was really that threatening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with our stats across the board for all our forwards, like, they're pretty low in numbers, right? Like, I remember during the broadcast they were saying that I think Florida has like six players that have more points than our two top scoring players in Kadri and Huberto.
Yeah.
So, and I think the problem is that with how good Wolf has been, he's kind of just patched up the fact that, like, in my opinion, if it wasn't for Wolf, we'd be bottom of the league right now.
I don't know if they'd be bottom of the league, but I'm curious if they'd be one point out of a playoff spot.
My question, I guess, is would it be worth, like, is it almost a negative that Wolf is playing as well as he is? Like, it's great that we have him, and obviously it's awesome to have a good goalie, but I'm kind of on Team Tank in that I think draft picks are super important to develop a team that is going to be good in the future. So, you know, is it not really benefiting our team that much right now?
Like, what do you want him to do, man? Like, do you want him to
I know.
and here's the thing. Like, and I get it. Like, I really do. I understand the premise. But he has been their MVP this year, and so he's a big part of the future. So, like, it's like you need to get young players and you need to have young studs, and here's a young stud being their best player or one of their best players. And then it's like, is this a bad thing? And I get it. Like, that's not a criticism or a shot at you at all, Michael. It really isn't. But it's like, I don't know. If this was 34-year-old Jacob Markstrom covering up a bunch of other things, and I don't think they would be the worst team in the league without Wolf, but I don't think they would be as close to where the playoffs as they are right now without the way Wolf has played. But yeah, I think that you also have to remember that Wolf's a 23-year-old and a future potential franchise player on this team, so it can't be all negative that he's doing what he's doing, can it?
Yeah, and sorry, maybe I worded that wrong. I think it's great that he's playing well. It's just like it's unfortunate timing almost, and that if we just shifted it by a little bit where we could, you know, really tank on all fronts. Goaltending was bad, forwards are bad, everybody's bad. We're just bottom of the league. Get a couple of good picks, and then
then you don't have like, Dustin Wolf.
I wish the stars aligned a bit better is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's fair. Fair enough, but that hasn't happened. And if, you know, this was a pretty big year to get Wolf in, because if they didn't get him in this year, especially with Markstrom no longer here, I mean, if they went out and signed somebody else and went Vladar and, like, I don't know, I'm just off the top of my, if they went and got Lankinen late, right? And it was Vladar Lankinen as their goaltending tandem this year, and Wolf was still in the American League, like,
he can't spend any more time. They're doing everything they should have. It's just a sad thing being a lifelong Flames fan. It just seems like we're hopefully going to get there. I'm crossing my fingers that maybe we'll get lucky on some of our prospects. And,
they did bring in some pretty exciting talent at this most recent draft. I mean, Parekh, who looks like he could be a real special player. You know, whether it's Muse or Basha or Battaglia, like they've added some pretty exciting looking players. And I know not one of those guys is a potential franchise center. I am very aware of that, but it is still year one of a process. And I don't know. I just let Connie cook. I don't know. I don't know if Craig Conroy is going to ultimately be successful in executing the vision. I don't know, because it's so early on, but it is still so early on. They are, as much as they're not tanking, they also are doing things differently than they have over the last 15 or 20 years. And so I would like to see more of what Craig Conroy is building here before I completely say that it's just going to be the same old, you know?
Yeah, I think we'll pass judgment after the playoffs if they get bounced. If they make it but get bounced after four games, you know, I don't know what.
But that doesn't really change anything, because
it doesn't.
It's still a big picture plan, regardless if they make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, we'd have to be bottom nine, right? I think for the Montreal pick is
bottom 10.
Bottom 10, sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, bottom 10, sorry. Well, I don't know. It'd be cool to see, like, what Connie can do, and if he can, I think, you know, I have a lot of confidence in him. It seems like he's kind of doing the things that seem to make sense. Like, it just, you know, the moves, even the most recent one with the Flyers, like, those guys didn't seem, the guys we traded away, Kuzmenko and
Pelche.
They just couldn't seem to find the groove, and you may as well move them. And I feel like we were just always so hesitant doing that. So it's nice to see that, you know, we're actually moving pieces and assets and stuff like that. So let them cook, like you said, and we'll just cross our fingers. Hopefully we get a fun playoff run. If not, then it's on to next year and maybe make some moves in the offseason. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and let's see how the rest of this season goes. 24 to go this year. Appreciate the call, Michael. Good stuff, man. Call back anytime.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
Thanks, thanks, man. And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. That'll wrap us up on the text line tonight. Appreciate all of your input as per usual. Flames lose this one 3-0 in Tampa Bay. It's time for the final summary from tonight's game at Amalie Arena, as Tampa never trailed in this game, obviously, because they shut the Flames out. And the eventual game-winning goal is not a highlight reel goal. It is Nikita Kucherov who scores it in the final minute of the first period. A power play goal from Kucherov made it 1-0 at 19:15 of the first period. Kucherov's 27th from Jake Guentzel and Victor Hedman. It was an unfortunate one, because it was a Kucherov cross-seam pass that actually went off of the skate of Mackenzie Weegar and into the Flames net, and that ends up being what turns out to be the game winner. Kucherov makes it 1-0. That was your score after 20 minutes of play. Flames played a really good second period. Couldn't score, though. It was still 1-0 after 40 minutes of play. And then the early dagger in the third period from Eric Chernak to make it 2-0. Chernak walks down Main Street to rip home his third of the season to make it 2-0. Chernak from Brandon Hagel and Anthony Cirelli at 3:51 to give a little bit of breathing room to the Lightning, and then they would seal it with an empty net with less than 3 minutes to go. Hagel's 29th from Hedman at 17:09 gets us to our 3-0 final score. Final shots were 27-23. In favor of Calgary. Flames go 0-3 on the power play tonight. Tampa Bay 1-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number 3, Dustin Wolf. Number 2, Eric Chernak. And with a 27-save shutout, Andre Vasilevsky ends up being the number 1 star this evening. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Joel Hanley. With the loss, Flames fall to 28-22-8. They're back in action Saturday afternoon on the road in Florida, while Tampa improves to 34-20-4. They're back in action Saturday on the road in Washington. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Next up for the Flames is that game Saturday afternoon in Florida. Note the start time, 1 p.m. Calgary time, which means we'll be on the air at noon with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Tampa tonight. Flames fall 3-0 to Tampa Bay. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.